any civil proceeding for forfeiture shall, upon motion of forfeiture counsel, and the amendment is, or claimant, stay the civil forfeiture proceeding.
Madam Chair, just one comment. I specifically remember, I think it was Paul Snyder saying that at least his group had no problems with that proposal. I don't remember the Department of Justice position on that, but I remember Mr. Snyder's comment on that, I think.
This came up during the hearing, and I specifically inquired about it, and the ACLU came back with a recommendation based on my inquiry, which is their amendment number 9, which would insert after counsel, instead of putting in or claimant, it's going to read, shall upon motion of forfeiture counsel or upon motion on behalf of, I'm going to say, the defendant in a related criminal proceeding, stay the civil forfeiture proceeding until completion of the related criminal proceeding. And that was simply to allow the criminal trial to go forward if the defendant in that trial was subject to forfeiture, but not to allow any claimant to delay the forfeiture. I was concerned about allowing any claimant to delay the forfeiture.
I think that's my concern also.
So you accept that as a friendly?
To withdraw that for now or to?
Withdraw that.
Yes.
Yes.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Clark?
Aye.
Edison?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Minnis?
Yes.
Chair Bowman?
Aye. Motion carries. Representative Mannix, do you have another amendment?
In regard to the American Civil Liberties Union proposed amendments, since we just talked about it, I'll deal with this one first. Their amendment number 9, which is at page 4 of their amendments, I move that amendment as slightly modified so that at page 8, line 35, following the word counsel, insert, quote, or upon motion on behalf of the defendant in a related criminal proceeding, and then after proceeding, insert, quote, until completion of the related criminal proceeding, unquote. That's to deal with the problem of the criminal defendant who wants to make sure that the forfeiture is dealt with after his criminal trial. But it's not intended to allow just any claimant to say, well, there is a criminal proceeding out there somewhere and I want to stay the forfeiture proceeding until it's done. If the defendant's not involved, then why is the some other person out there able to use someone else's criminal trial to stay forfeiture?
Fine.
Has the blessing of the ACLU.
Any discussion? Is there any objection? The motion will be adopted.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mannix.
I also move amendment number 5 from the ACLU amendments, which is at page 2 of their submission, which is on page 1, line 32. Where it's the very bottom of the page, where it's reading the full sentence above, the application of any remedy under this act, right now it says is remedial. This would change it to be is intended to be remedial. It's a pure statement of intent.
Any questions? Is there any objection to the motion? The amendment is adopted.
Madam,
roll, Representative.
In terms of the Oregon Bankers Association amendments, Madam Chair, I move. Nothing. In deference to Representative Calori, maybe I will later, but at this time, I will not do anything about that for the moment. In terms of the Oregon Credit Union amendments, I'm not making any motion, Madam Chair. I'm satisfied that what they're talking about is taken care of by the existing language of the Act. Now, the Oregon Tow Truck Association.
Representative Mannix, could you hold on to this
sure.
minute here? We have commentary on all those amendments.
I'm sorry.
That you seek to move.
I was on a roll.
Seek not to move. I appreciate that. Let me just see if we have any other proponents of amendments. Let me explain this. Representative Mannix, I don't want to intimidate you or chill the progress here, but rather than ask you to roll through these individually.
That's fine, I understand.
I will move amendment number 8 by the ACLU. That is the amendment that deletes prostitution and gambling from the purview of the bill. And when the chair directs me to, I'll explain my reasoning.
Looking for the page reference.
Sorry, page 4 of the ACLU amendments.
By the way, that should be second amendment. They have 2 8s.
Okay. 8-2.
The page 4 amendment number 8. Yes, if you could, Representative Clark.
Well, I'm somewhat torn by this issue, and my reasoning perhaps is not. And my purpose is perhaps not the same as some other folks might be on this one, but we have a problem that we're looking at, and it's dominated the work of this committee all session, and it has to do with drugs. I don't say that prostitution and gambling aren't big problems for us, but I do say that I don't think they present the kind of compelling and overwhelming social problem right now, akin to a wildfire, a brush fire that the drug problem does. To the extent that we send a freight train to the courts, and I think that this bill will end up in the courts, I want the most compelling case possible for the procedures that we have carefully outlined here. And I think that the if I can use the heretical phrase, the judicial politics involved in dealing with a bill like this wrapped up with the drug problem are perhaps more compelling than those wrapped up with prostitution and gambling. You can disagree with that reasoning or not, but that's my reasoning, and that's the purpose for which I move the ACLU Amendment number 8.
Thank you. Is there a discussion for Representative Clark's motion?
I appreciate the thrust of your remarks, Representative Clark. I'm not from the Portland area, so I can't speak to whether or not there is a significant problem along these lines of organized gambling rings or larger scale prostitution activities that would require this kind of a forfeiture statute. From my own community's perspective, I don't see that crying need, and I can understand your point. But I'd be curious as to whether or not others from the larger metropolitan area have any comment on that.
Madam Chair, I guess I have a comment. From being from the metropolitan area and being a police officer, I guess I oppose the motion to delete prostitution and gambling because, I guess from my perspective, I see that all three are related, and oftentimes there are gambling operations in the city of Portland that could very well become the subject of this kind of a forfeiture law if the district attorney and the police agencies actually sought to go after them.
May I ask Representative Minnis and Representative Mannix why it is that you feel that Section 4 on page 1 would not cover prostitution and gambling if any city or county chose to enact an ordinance providing for forfeiture of property based upon that conduct?
Well, I suppose they could. I mean, it would allow us.
If Representative Clark's conjecture were to pan out, this something possibly more powerful.
They're gambling in the... kind of extraordinary application needed to...
Well, yeah.
That's correct, for sure.
I understand that personally, but I don't know that the legislature has to create a vehicle that's perfect for the Oregon Supreme Court to review at some point in time. And I mean, we could go either way.
Okay, is there any other discussion?
Motion. Since objections...
Wait a minute, Madam Chair, can I just... one question. The court reviews this and throws it out because we have prostitution and gambling in the bill. My feeling with the court is it normally is if it goes too far, it's going to interpret it as far as it goes constitutionally. Best out. I mean, I don't see it. There's no big gambling or prostitution problem in Northeast Oregon. And I can just see these two, the drug house and the crack house, particularly going hand in hand with some of these other activities that we don't like. In bust one, you may bust one. You're in the midst of all of them. My experience tells me, though limited as it is, there may be some illicit, you know, prostitution or gambling going on in the same place that drugs are being manufactured or transacted. I hope we're not in this much trouble in this bill that we're going to... That's just, you know, purely a practitioner's point of view on... If this rises and falls on this, I think we're in big trouble on the bill. For that reason only, I think it's fine the way it is. It rises and falls the way it is.
Representative Edmondson.
Well, I guess I hadn't thought to jump into this, but it does occur to me that these are interim proceedings. And personal conduct, which is prostitution particularly involves, and gambling usually can involve conduct only, a few sticks and stones and they throw them around in the dirt. That's a different type of activity than the drug activity, which really involves some pretty dangerous substances. And I think that if we have any justification for an MREM proceeding, it's much stronger as to drug activity than it is against purely conduct activity. So I think we are treading very dangerously close to personal action here. And
well, can I interpret that as being a yes? What is your pleasure?
I probably agree with Jim that we've got a little problem because we're talking about an MREM proceeding, and talking about that, we have to look at the property and not the...
I want to raise another point. I guess I wonder about the issue if in the forfeiture law we don't have or have not set a policy of dealing with prostitution and gambling and making it relevant to what we want to do and our objectives of the bill, allowing under subsection 4 of section 1 cities and counties to adopt their own little rules and so on and so forth without a state sanction, and having the legislative history that this legislature specifically eliminated those things, whether or not if the court would view a city ordinance that was substantially different.
Question for counsel. Does the cases, Court of Appeals cases from 2 months ago, do you read those cases as being along the lines of Representative Minnis's concern? If a city acts to broaden the scope of the conduct, is that going to throw their ordinance in conflict with the state ordinance, state law?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the way I read those cases of a couple of weeks ago, they said that the forfeiture ordinances fell because they were in conflict with state statute. I suspect that the next court challenge is going to come, assuming that a state law is passed removing that state statute prohibition, will come in the area whether this is in fact a criminal or civil proceeding.
I expect so too.
Aye. Edmondson?
Yes.
Clark?
Aye.
Calhoun?
Aye.
Baum?
Aye. Motion carries. Chair will move. You recall, this is the proposal for the Oversight Committee, which will sunset and includes a conceptual amendment which sunsets the forfeiture procedure entirely. This is adjusted to take effect on December 31st, 1993 for the purpose of giving us an additional period of experience with forfeiture, so that we're not on a two-year track. We have a little bit longer to live with this fairly extraordinary.
When are you moving?
This is
LC 2.
2282-2.
Are you going to move?
Yes. Thank you, and I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Then Dawn moves the dash 3, the dash 4, and then moves together with that.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, and I'd like to
add that. That is not in the current draft, but as a conceptual amendment, and we will have an
engrossed copy of the bill provided us by Legislative Council following the first session.
Can you just wait the section 33?
Can we leave that to Legislative Council? I
suspect that what they'll do is look at something
there.
Fiscal?
Fiscal.
Do we have a fiscal on the dash 2 amendment?
No, we don't. Well,
dash,
I'll request for amendments.
Is the dash 4 amendment, 2282-4, does that take care of some of Representative Edmondson's prior stated concerns? Yes.
Remember those concerns that Representative Edmondson, do you remember those concerns? That's all right. Joint tenancy
concerns,
you had those.
Sure, this doesn't address all of them.
I'm just wondering whether or not other amendments may be in order, but Representative Edmondson.
Well, they're dash 3 and dash 4 LC drafts address my specific concerns on inheritance and.
That's what I was trying to get at. I remembered you'd raise those concerns.
Well,
these are the ones designed to take care of that.
2 and 3, or 3 and 4. Are, yes.
Thank you.
That's 2020 hindsight, Representative Calhoun. I think you may be right.
Calhoun's rules of order.
Package of amendments here, dash 2, dash 3, dash 4. Is there any further discussion with Jim Edmondson?
No, other than I.
Is there any objection?
No.
I object.
Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Calhoun?
Yes.
Clark?
Aye.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Mannix?
Aye.
Minnis?
No.
Chair
Ballman? Aye. Motion is adopted.
Chair?
Mannix.
I move the Oregon Tow Truck Association amendments number 8.
Okay, while we're doing this, Representative Mannix, is there any objection to adding the House Judiciary Committee staff amendment, which adds an emergency clause? Nearby on
our list of amendments. That's correct.
An emergency clause.
It works
a
bit.
Is there any objection? Motion carries. We've narrowed it down somewhat here.
If there are
Which one do we, what would you, annex the motions still pending about the Oregon tow truck? Is that still pending?
Or no, I withdrew it in a friendly, while you took care of your...
I'm sorry, I thought we carried it together with the emergency clause.
That was fine. I just noticed that you acted like you were still on the floor, which is fine.
Fine. If we just carried it, that's fine with me.
It's carried.
I'm sorry, Representative Mannix, I would like to add as many of these as we can. The chair will move the Oregon Bankers Association amendments.
May we discuss those?
Yes, you may. I understand from your comment earlier, Representative Mannix, your position. Go ahead.
Well, in terms of the first recommended amendment, I understand that they're already covered. They're
yes,
taken care of by the AOC.
That is correct.
On the second amendment that they proposed, I'm opposed to that inclusion at this point. I realize that we're getting near to closure on this bill, but I still would like to see what we're going to do with the other House Bill 3371, which I'd like to hear or see that bill to see whether it really deals with a different set of circumstances and whether we should hold off, but that's just my own.
Well, let me make something real clear at this point, since I talked about clarity earlier. I think that we have a very fragile ship that we're sending over to the Senate here in terms of forfeiture, and it is the chair's preference to send the Senate one forfeiture bill. I don't have any... I don't think I'm operating under any kind of misconception about how difficult it is going to be to get to agreement on the tool. And I think that we're kidding ourselves if we think we're going to get more than one. So what I would like to do is have this operate to the best purpose of those proponents who sat down throughout the summer and into the fall and package together, and that includes
Madam Chair.
Representative.
Question to the maker of the motion, and that question is, wouldn't this also be covered under subsection 4 of section 1 of the bill, as with prostitution
that
and gambling for the purpose
of
local
yeah.
ordinances?
Well, I think the concern that was raised by Mr. Sherman has to do with a specific ordinance which has been passed in the city of Portland, which is awaiting legislation.
Madam Chair, I guess maybe I need a little bit more clarification. If it works for prostitution and gambling, why doesn't it work for drunk driver?
Well, I think that the issue here, Representative Minnis, because of that ordinance calling on legislative action, create some clarity, which kind of is like voting
no, yes, yes, no,
which is, I understand, not clear at all, but
it's very clear, but
to operate, to apply for a person's driving privileges when they are suspended or revoked as a result of conviction for driving under the intoxicants, I believe to be for that process to be followed under the procedure that we're enumerating in this bill,
we need to clearly
delineate that, since the ordinance passed with a separate procedure await passage of this bill. So rather than take us around and about for an interpretation of what the intention was, this merely suggests putting it directly as part of the bill. I agree with you. I believe that if we didn't include it, Section 4 would apply to that as well.
Madam Chair, just my own understanding, this second half of the Bankers Association amendment simply is allowing a person's vehicle take.
That's correct.
And there was a bill out there, or that you contemplating hearing, that was directly directed at that, a forfeiture bill directed at vehicles.
That's the forfeiture bill that Representative Kalori testified to earlier.
Our attempt to include that provision into this bill. So if we don't like forfeiture of automobiles, we vote no. If we like the forfeiture of automobiles, we vote yes.
To make it even worse, Representative Baum, I believe that forfeiture of automobiles is probably included under Section 4.
Anyway. For cities that want to, or counties that want to do it.
I have a question in addition.
How are you going to work the forfeiture? I won't get into that. How
under the practically works in the sincere hope of the chair and the purpose of this legislation is that that will operate under the exact procedures that are being enumerated here. And the purpose for this amendment is to make sure that there is no misunderstanding by anyone, by any local government or by any court. That is the intent of this law.
Like, I personally oppose forfeiting vehicles because it's unworkable.
I appreciate that.
Not because I don't think their cars don't deserve to be taken. It just doesn't work in the field.
Madam Chair, if I could speak just briefly on the motion so that the Chair and others will understand my vote. It's along the same lines as my motion to remove prostitution and gambling. I want to keep this a drug bill, and I realize that driving under the influence is a drug issue, but I don't think driving while suspended is, and so I probably will be a no vote on the amendment for that reason.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Other comments? Call the roll.
No.
Calhoun?
No.
Clark?
No.
Evanson?
No. Manning? Aye. Resounding motion. The motion fails. Representative Calhoun.
I'd like to move the realtor's amendments. Well, I think that it would be good to make certain that we're limiting ourselves, and I think that the realtors have done a good job in writing a good amendment for us, and I'd like to move this one forward and hope there's no objections to it. Problem between our other amendments, isn't it?
Well, that's why we're going to ask that the council give me a copy of the bill before we vote on it.
I support Representative Calhoun's motion. I think that it properly limits the action to relate to real property interests held by someone involved in a criminal activity. Also, this cloud upon the title provision concerns me. I'll have a separate amendment to offer later in regard to who gets title to this property anyway. But I think that the warning in the title documents is a real problem in the real estate field. I think their testimony was very compelling, and I support Representative Calhoun on that.
Representative Clark.
If I read the amendment correctly, it limits the forfeiture to the interest held by the individual involved in the prohibited conduct. Is that correct? So in the nature, in the circumstance of a house leased but not owned by the individual involved in prohibited conduct, what that individual forfeits is his or her leasehold interest.
only. And in the nature of a land sale contract, the purchaser, for example, would forfeit only his interest or her interest in that leasehold, in that land sale contract.
Okay.
Is that the intention, Representative Calhoun?
That's correct.
Yeah, Council is going to add something here.
Good, Madam Chair, thank you. The only thing I'm wondering is if that would create a loophole where what happens if the owner of the property knew about it but not, did not participate but somehow received some of the proceeds. He would not be the person involved in the individual in the prohibited conduct, but he would be benefiting. You know, I don't know whether you can make a theory out of conspiracy or something, but it may be a very large loophole in which the well-informed could simply lease the